What's up, family? I want to welcome you to another broadcast here with on the Hakimian Show. Today I have my beautiful wife in the house, Jal Hakimian, and we're going to be discussing marriage and communications. And we want you to call in. If you got any questions, we have our lines open. We want you to call in, but right now I want to go ahead and introduce my wife and let her share a little bit about what the Lord's doing with her. And we're going to, again, dive into the topic. We're going to look at the Word and really discuss marriage and communication. And if you're going through a struggle, or you know someone right now that's going through a struggle, you definitely want to tune in, because we're going to be really talking about communication from our own experiences and from the Word of God. And of course, you can always reach out to us at the Impact Family Network, which is a Christian counseling ministry, pastoral counseling. And we provide counseling virtually. We provide counseling here in the offices in South Florida. And again, we're here to serve you. So let me go ahead and introduce my wife, Jal. How are you today?
I'm good, thanks.
Good, good, good. So what's on your heart as we get started? What's God doing with you?
Well, I shared with you last week that God has put it on my heart to revisit Proverbs 31.
Okay.
And really go through verse by verse and really meditate on each verse and really allow the Holy Spirit to show me where I'm lining up and where I'm failing to line up with Proverbs 31. What does it look like for me right now to be a Proverbs 31 woman today? In the context that I have with the work that he's called me to do right now, and also with the children he's blessed me with and made me responsible for, and the other family dynamics, the wife he wants me to be, the daughter he wants me to be, the woman he wants me to be in the family, in the home, and in society. And that has been my great challenge. I think I'm still on verse one. Looking at it, comparing, but I do see it changing my heart. And when my heart changes, my actions change. I'll get up earlier and make different choices with my morning, right? And with my whole day, with what to do and what is the priority and things like that. And I'm also recognizing patterns that are sinful and almost neglectful. Of the family, and asking God to help me break those patterns, break out of it, and start new patterns that glorify Him and help mold me into the image of Christ. And for me, that's being that woman that's been outlined in that great, great proverbial chapter. So that is what's happening with me on a personal, spiritual level. That is where God has been speaking to me. Another area of healing, if I could have a time of confession, is went to mourn a friend, and a lot of people got up to speak, and this woman said something on there. She said, I provided a book and where you can leave your thoughts. And what she invited people to do was, I was so beautiful, because the Lord really used her. She acknowledged that. She said, hey, this person is awesome. We've all said great things, but let's face it, this person was big. They had a big personality, and sometimes that personality rubbed you the right way. Sometimes you got rubbed wrong. So we really want to encourage you to release everything, the good and the bad. And so if you have something undealt with concerning this person, we invite you to write it down on the pages we provide after this service. And man, that made me cry.
Yeah.
Because that's a beautiful thing we don't usually do. And realizing that we as people need release.
Yeah.
And in that moment, God exposed to me a bitterness in my heart that had not gone acknowledged. And I had to acknowledge it and mourn over it. And I was so thankful, because God showed me as he exposed it, and as I was crying, literally crying, and mourning over that, he also said, this bitterness has caused a blockage, that as you go through the process the next few days of acknowledging and confessing, I'm also going to provide release there's going to be a stoppage that's going to be released, and there's going to be a greater flowing of my Holy Spirit through you throughout your day. And that is how God ministered to me. So my encouragement is with there's so many little things, and it wasn't a huge thing, but it was a little bitterness that had taken root in me, and God was dealing with it. And by me opening up and humbly confessing it, I confessed it to you later that time, and acknowledging it and saying, God, work on me with this, asking for forgiveness for bitterness, because it is a sin, right? Yeah. The Word of God says, let no root of bitterness spring up in you, right? See to it that you deal with your anger. And really going over what caused it, where it came from, and acknowledging it and forgiving what the offense that caused root of bitterness, and letting it go. Really expecting great things from God, overflow, a new life, a new area, a new way He can flow and energize me and use me. So I'm really thankful for that. That's what's been going on with me personally.
Nice, nice. Yes, and today we're going to be, of course, dealing with this issue of marriage. And at the Impact Family Network, me and you get a chance to really spend time with couples and individuals dealing with addiction issues and dealing with just issues of a struggle that people are going through. And it's been, you know, and of course we've been doing this for the last 20-something years, just, you know, pouring into people, counseling people, discipling people, and just seeing lives change. And of course we've seen some lives not changed and get actually worse. And so, you know, as we talk about, you know, communication, marriage, you know, especially this Saturday as we met with some of the couples, it really brought me back to those early years of our marriage and our dating and our courtship and how difficult it was sometimes to communicate with each other because we both had two different styles. What has been like some of the key lessons that you've learned in our journey in the last 20 years of marriage and 2.5 years of dating and engagement and courtship?
Well, a lesson I have to continuously relearn, and you are so wonderfully gracious to remind me, is that I don't have to say everything I think. That's one of the big ones for me. A lot of times I'll go into situations and not say much, but once I get started, which is why you sometimes won't see me say much, because I know myself, and once I get going, boy, do I get going. And so, really understanding you don't have to say everything you think, that being prayerful, like praying without ceasing, really speaks to praying in your mind even before you speak. Lord, is this necessary? Lord, do I have to say this? Lord, guide my words right now as I express some serious things that may be hard for the other person to receive. And in the terms of us with marriage, right, a lot of prayer should be going into the way that we're confronting and dealing with each other. I think we've learned not to just come off the cuff with things, that can actually be quite dangerous. Not that you hold you hold things in, but you need to always be very intentional in your communication.
It's been and I think one of the things that we've practice, and we're going to encourage people to go to our website, impact.vision, is this thing called open heart communication.
Yes.
Which has been critical, where couples begin to practice communication by asking each other a set of questions, and I have some of those questions here, and there's some instructions here. When you have that open heart communication, you're not allowed to rebuttal. You're not allowed to, you know, defend yourself. You're not allowed to, argue. And I think a lot of times couples do that. And then some of those questions, which are pretty provocative. What's that first question? We don't do this legalistically every week. I think because we just kind of naturally ask each other questions now.
But in the beginning, we did.
But what's that first question, and why is this important?
So the first question is, how have I been making you feel this last week with my actions and attitudes? And I can say for me, in the beginning of our relationship, when I was learning how to communicate in a healthy way, there would be times that I'd be rubbed the wrong way. And I know we all do this. An attitude or an action coming from our significant other will make us feel a certain way. We will not like it. And a lot of times, to keep the peace, we won't say anything. Or a lot of times we feel that if we do say something, it's not going to be received, it's going to be rebuffed, or it's not the right time. And what ends up happening is sometimes certain women will just crumble inside, or certain people, and take it. But a lot of times what we'll end up doing is punishing the other person in a whole bunch of other ways, and they don't even know what they're being punished for. So, and being able to identify that it's not just your words, but it's your attitudes and actions that make me feel a certain way, that have an effect on me. Right? A lasting effect on me, was really important. And I think that first question, when we first started going over it, gave a validity to certain feelings or emotions that perhaps I didn't feel were valid before. That it was, I didn't have a valid argument to say, well, you've had this attitude with me that's made me feel this way. Because there weren't necessarily hard facts to back it up. But this validating the fact that, you know, this attitude has been making me feel this way. Asking the question automatically validates the feeling and the emotion, which is really, really important in communication. You never invalidate someone's feelings. Right? We do, and then we can explore. Maybe I was misinterpreting the action, or maybe you didn't realize that action was creating that feeling, and you can control that.
And that's been profound for me, too, I think, because men, we're so used to arguing our point. And it's like, I think some men are arguing, are trying to have an argument with their wives about why their feelings are not valid. And that's the wrong argument to have, because people feel all types of ways because of different reasons. And you can't deny that, right? And if your spouse is angry with you or disgusted with you, these open heart discussions that we teach people during counseling really kind of helps them to begin to accept other people's feelings, which, again, I mean, you'd be surprised how many people don't do that. We just cannot validate the reality that people from different political, cultural, personality, you know, gender, chemical, you know, spectrums, you know, people are shaped and molded and being triggered and influenced by so many different variables. And they feel certain emotions, and to be able to listen to someone, you know, like, you know, we counsel business leaders and organization leaders, and we deal a lot with reputation monitoring or reputation marketing. And when people are giving you bad reviews and they feel bad about your restaurant or your business or your leadership, you have to engage that. You know, you can't deny that. And because if you don't engage it and listen or let them or validate, you know, when people give us a bad review, for example, some of our businesses, we validate it. Like, thank you for your review. We may even share a disagreement, but we appreciate you doing that, because, first of all, other people want to see the validation because it shows that you care. Okay. Again, you can't, and don't argue their feelings, because they, you know, like, you had no right feeling this way. To say, no, I mean, they already felt that way. They had a right to feel that way because they're independent, autonomous, free human beings, you know? And so, yeah.
I think a lot of times the arguing about someone's feelings is a protective measure. I think that deep down we feel that if we validate their feelings, we are automatically admitting wrong. And then, right, and there's no defense, as opposed to, I'm sorry I made you feel that way. Not, I'm sorry you feel that way. No one likes to hear, I'm sorry you feel that. I'm sorry I made you feel that way. And then, that already brings down half of the tension and the resistance. And then you're able to then say, my intention was not that. This is what I really meant. Or, no, this attitude you've been sensing is not about you. this is what's been going on. I know for you, you're such a serious person. When you're in work mode, you're in work mode. And originally, you get like into beast mode.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as fun and work. They do not coexist in the same space. And so a lot of times I would be like, you're mad at me. When you're telling me to do something, you're mad at me. You don't like the way I'm working. And we used to talk about that, and you would say, I'm not mad, I'm just serious. It's just, it's time to be serious. And yeah. And I'm not angry at you.
Yeah. The unfortunate struggle of marrying type A's, right?
Right, yes.
And in most relationships, there's always usually a type A and a type B. Mm-hmm. It's very difficult when you got two type A's trying to make things happen. And at some point, if you have two type A's, someone has to take on the more kind of passive mode or follow the mode. But couples have to talk through these things, right. And so they have to ask each other these questions, you know, because it's not just personality, but it's stuff that's happening in real time. So that first question we teach couples to ask, which is, how have I been making you feel this last week with my actions and attitudes? And I like the fact that it says this last week, because yes. Couples can really harp on things that the spouse did or their boyfriend and girlfriend did 6 years ago or 10 years ago, you know, or 10 weeks ago. And that's really not wise and fruitful. Yeah. You know, one of the things that 1 Corinthians 13 teaches us is that love is patient, love is kind, and it keeps no records of wrongs. Not to say I or you don't struggle with bringing up the past, because we do. It's like, hey, you did that a year ago. You've been doing that for the last 20 years. But the Word of God gives us a framework. And it's like, hey, you know, why are we dealing with, you know, 10 years ago? Let's deal with real time. Current issues, knowing that both you and I have particular habits, you know, habits, what's the saying, they die strong or something, habits die long, or I don't know, there's a saying for that, but it's not easy to change a habit, especially something that you've done for 20 years before you met your spouse.
Right.
But this question is very critical, because you're dealing with current issues, the last 7 days, if you can even remember all the stuff. And again, how have I been making you feel this last week with my actions? And you're asking that to your spouse, so you're opening up. So it's creating vulnerability, mm-hmm. which a lot of times couples are no longer vulnerable. You know, it's like with God. When you get to a place as a Christian where you're no longer asking God to search you,
right.
to discipline you, to show you your blind spots. It's a very dangerous place to be. And it's the same with your spouse or with your partner,
mm-hmm.
You know, because this should be the most important, vulnerable, transparent, naked relationship in the world. And notice, with my actions and attitudes, right? It's going beyond just my actions, but the inner being. Like, how have I been? How's my disposition been? And again, because God is dealing not only with our actions, but our motives, our attitudes, the sentiment we carry. And in parenting, this is important, right? To deal with your kids' attitudes, their heart. Like, son, why are you so angry? Right? You know, Cain was angry with Abel because he was jealous. And he wasn't willing to conform to God's expectation, mm-hmm. which was to offer up a sacrifice that cost him something. At the end of the day, he was very selfish. And instead of dealing with his own heart, his own behavior, he went and killed his brother.
Right.
So, you know, these kind of questions that probe the heart, right? You know, how have I been making you feel with my actions and attitude? That could be inner anger, bitterness, kind of arrogance, you know? And it's like, hey, you've been very arrogant towards me in your attitude, or you've been, you know, talking down on me. And it's hard to hear. I know when you tell me the truth about, maybe, you know, as long as I disagree, I don't think it's the truth, it's hard to hear, you know? So, again, what's your thoughts on, as we kind of deconstruct and take this, just this one question apart? I mean, it's loaded, and we've had 20 years to think about these questions.
Right.
What do you think about that first question and the fact that it is dealing with real time and it's dealing with the heart matters?
I think it's really important in marriage. that these questions be asked by the spouse, because when it comes to actions, that's something everyone sees. Mm-hmm. When it comes to attitudes, a lot of the time, especially if you've got a husband and wife that are out of the home most of the day for work or school, they usually, for a good 8, maybe 10 hours, can keep their attitude in check. Mm-hmm. And then when they get home, they get really relaxed and it all shows through.
Yeah.
And so that marriage relationship is where a spouse can put your finger on an attitude that you may be able to hide, or other people can't sense as much. Yeah. Or maybe they can sense it, but they're really not in a place to say it. And so God really uses the marriage relationship, especially if you use these questions appropriately. It's not just about our relationship being good.
Yeah.
It's also about us being us, a mirror being shown of who we are. Things we don't, the blind self is what Freud would call it.
Yeah.
It's the blind self that your spouse sees. Right? But no one else, but you don't see. Or the hidden self that you can hide from the rest of the world. But honestly, you can only keep that facade up so long, and your spouse can say, no, there's something going on with you. And you'd be like, no, I've done this, I've done that. Yeah, but you've had this little, this attitude, like you're impatient, or like you're doing me a favor by sitting down to dinner with me. Things like that, that will rarely be confronted in the other relationships, especially when marriage comes in.
Yeah.
So I think that's important as well. As we look at this, we talk about not just the actions, the attitudes. That and that question is so important to ask, and then really important for the spouse to answer honestly. It also reveals that the spouse can't answer honestly. There are attitudes that are hidden from the spouse.
Yeah.
Right? There may be a whole secret life.
Yeah.
That that is there.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And the person is wearing 2 or 3 faces, which also can only be kept up for so long, but you know what happens.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily done in a malicious way.
Mm-hmm.
It's not always because the man's got another woman on the side, or there's addiction problems. It could be, especially early in the marriage, trying so hard to be that perfect spouse that you don't feel released to really be yourself. So you can't be yourself out there when you're at work or at school in front of people. You can't completely be yourself here because you still want to be that perfect spouse. You're trying to live up to this ideal. And usually it's your own ideal more so than your spouse's, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that leads to a lot of dysfunction, a lot of unhealthiness, and it will begin to seep out. And a loving, prayerful spouse will take this opportunity, be able to say to you, man, I've been seeing this little thing, I'm not sure what it is. Right? We had that happen.
Yeah.
Where I thought it was something really, really terrible, and I actually finally confronted you, like, what's going on? I sense this, and you're like, no, it's nothing, we're fine. And then, do you remember what you did?
I don't know.
You wrote me a letter.
Okay.
Because you were like, I don't even want to have this conversation and tell you what it is. But you asked me and you probed, and it's not what you think, but here it is. And you laid it all out. This has been my struggle.
Mm.
And I've tried to struggle with it privately and handle it, but I can't.
Yeah.
And I need you to know I'm so sorry. And for me, it was hard to hear, but it was so much more relief because I thought it was something so much worse than what it does. And you were trying your hardest to keep it all together, but it was still seeping out.
Yeah.
And if we didn't have a practice of having these conversations, and me knowing that I have the freedom and the responsibility to address not only your actions, but also your attitude.
Yeah.
That you may have been bound up in that much longer than you were.
Yeah.
So I think that when you, this question of how have I been making you feel in my attitudes, actions and attitudes, is not only about making the person feel better. I'm not going to do this anymore so they feel better. There is a growth, a healing, a release that comes also for the person asking the question.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And again, we want to encourage anyone that's watching this today to, call us in, and we'd like to hear your thoughts at 305-928-2295 at extension 20. And again, this is the Impact Family Network with Jack and Jal Hakimian. And you can log on to our websites if you need more help with virtual coaching or mm-hmm. in-person coaching. You can go to impact.vision, impact.vision, go to jal.com or jackhakimian.com. And we definitely are here to help you. As we wrap this up, you know, there's a verse that comes to my mind. It's in Proverbs. And it says in Proverbs 27, and we're going to keep talking about these open heart discussions. And if you guys are interested in getting these questions, that you can do this exercise with your spouse, you can log on to our website called impact.vision or Impact Family Network. You can Google it. And there's a search module on the top, and you can type in there couples open heart discussion guide. And we have the guide there for you. And then we're going to keep going through these questions. There's a list of nine questions, and that deals with everything from how have I been making you feel, and again, these are very important questions to ask, because they not only enhance your intimacy, your friendship, but also your sexual life, your business decisions. And we recommend doing this once a week, mm-hmm. At most twice a week during a date night. And you may not go through all the questions. You may just go to two or three questions. Or you may ask different questions every other week or every week. One of the questions is, how's your health? How have you been taking care of your body and mind? How are your friendships going? How are you cultivating them? So it's really getting holistic and concerned about your spouse's full life. And not just how they relate to you, but you know, what's going on with their work relationships? How's your relationship with God been?
Right.
Do you feel loved, encouraged, abandoned, or challenged by Him? Just, you know, again, you want to give your spouse at least 5 to 10 minutes. You can set the time to respond with no interruption. You guys need to learn to listen to each other, hear each other's hearts. One of the questions is, how's my physical affection, foreplay, and sexual interaction been pleasing to you? This is very important. I can't wait till we get to that question, because I think a lot of men are struggling with this issue of pleasing their wives. Mm-hmm. You know, I know that, you know, we hear from a lot of women during our counseling sessions and or just personal discipleship that, and we see it also like on media, that a lot of women in marriage aren't sexually enjoying that encounter. Probably it's because there's no communication,
right.
In the bed and then outside of the bed, and of course, with these open heart discussions, you're always trying to end it with prayer, asking the Holy Spirit to help you, because you know couples can beat each other up with the truth, but not depend on the Holy Spirit, which is the grace and the power of God, to actually enable you to live the truth, and that's where the Holy Spirit gives you a desire to obey the truth, right? Some men hear the truth from their wives or vice versa, but they have no desire to obey the truth. And if they have a desire, right, because the Spirit wants to obey the law, but there's another power at work within them that's contrary to the law. So they have the desire, but they don't have the power, because sometimes they're not. They don't know how to live by the Spirit,
right.
Which Paul deals with that in Romans 8, Galatians 5. And so we explore a lot of that in our pastoral counseling, helping couples, helping individuals with addictions, with problems, tap into the power of God. And the power of God is greater than the power of your sin. It's greater than your sin nature. It's greater than the world. Greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world,
amen.
The Word of God says. And when the Son sets free, is free indeed. And we have to remember that we sin because we choose to sin, not because we have to sin.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's teaching Christians their identity, teaching them how to tap into the most powerful source of refreshment and power and capacity to live out the Christian life. Love your wives, love your enemies, love your children, love your clients, and be humble when you blow it, because that also is a fruit of Spirit, is humility.
Yes.
The ability to say, you know what, I'm sorry, in a constant basis, because we are sinning constantly, you know, we're struggling constantly. So any last thoughts? Again, I'm excited for this continuous conversation about marriage and communication. And this is kind of the beginning of this podcast and videocast. The verse I wanted to say, sorry about that. I totally forgot. This is the preacher in me. Proverbs 27, verse 5 and 7. I want to leave you guys with this verse today. In Proverbs 27, verses 5 through 7, it says, "Better is open rebuke than hidden love." Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. Okay? Better is open rebuke than hidden love, and wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. So what the Holy Spirit is teaching us here practically, especially in friendships, in church life, and especially in marriage and family life, we have to have space to share our hearts, share our rebukes, and it hurts, right? It's an open wound, right? It creates wounds for a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. Folks, it is not good that you think that marriage, especially when you're dating and engaged, should always be positive. It shouldn't be chronically painful, because for the most part, I would say 90% of your week should, if I was to measure this on a week-to-week basis, should be enjoyable. But you are going to have those 5 to 10% painful moments, because you're a sinner and you're stepping on each other's toes, you're hurting each other. And if you're doing that, and you guys are sharing each other's hearts to each other, and you're communicating, and you're providing, as we recommend, these open heart discussions. And again, we have the guide on our website. You can go there and get it for free. There's an online form that you can actually do and fill out. It'll send you a copy, and it'll send me and my wife a copy. This thing can transform your life, these open heart discussions on a weekly or bi-weekly basis. And there's one more verse I want to share with you, and that's Psalm 28. And this is what David says in verse 1. "To you, O Lord, I call. You are my rock. Do not turn a deaf ear to me. For if you remain silent, I will be like those who go down to the pit. Hear my cry for mercy as I call to you for help, as I lift my hands towards your most holy place." So what David is saying in Psalm 28 is, God, please listen to me. You know, don't be silent when I speak to you. Yeah. Hear my cry. And this is the foundation of marriage communication. That if you guys have no time to make for an intimate, intentional time of heart discussion, you're not being godly. Hmm. Because you're not willing to hear the cry of your spouse and then turn around after these open heart discussions, turn around and cry out to God together. Any closing thoughts? I know I gave a lot of loaded stuff here.
No, that's it. I think the making sure these questions don't get weaponized, but they are really used, you know, with the motivation of bettering the relationship, keeping it healthy, not only for your own relief, but for the other person's growth as well. Taking it to prayer, not trying to solve the problems or address it in your own strength, but really taking it to prayer. And leaving it on the altar and seeing what God does with that in each of you when you just leave it on the altar.
All right. As we close, would you just make an invitation to anyone who's not following Christ, whether they're Christian or non-Christian, and make an invitation for them and pray with them?
Definitely. My thoughts go back to a gentleman that I had worked with once, and we were talking about his marriage relationship. And he talked about all the ideals he had for himself. And I remember thinking, and the Lord spoke to me in that moment, wow, poor guy. Because he's going to not even meet his own expectations or ideals, because he hasn't met the Savior, who's the only one that can truly cleanse him and empower him. And so if you're someone who's experienced not only meeting not God's standards, but your own standards, understand that the Lord knew that you couldn't meet his standards or even your own expectations, because he has written his law in your heart. So you know what's right. You know what's good. But you keep seeming to fail. That's the reason he came. That's the reason he died. Christ came, he lived this life that was perfect and flawless for us. And he was crucified and experienced death, and the punishment that should have been laid on us was laid on him for you. So if you haven't accepted the gift of salvation that Christ offers, I just want to lead you real quick in that prayer. And just say this with me. And if you're someone who's known who Christ is, but you've been operating in your own strength instead of walking in his grace and his love and his power, say this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are so good and so loving, that you see me in all of me, and yet you so love me. I thank you, Jesus Christ, that you love me enough to come to this earth and walk and live and die for me. I confess now that I fall short in so many ways, and there's no way for me to make up for all that I've done, but you have already paid for my sins. Thank you for that. Thank you for dying for me, for paying for my sins, and thank you for being the word salvation. I accept your gift of salvation, and I accept the work that the Holy Spirit does in us when we submit to you. And we submit right now, I submit right now to your work, Father. Come into my life, come into my heart, change me, and help me to cooperate with you and submit my life to you. Thank you, and I pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Again, we want to thank you for tuning in to this broadcast, the Impact Family Network, and me and my wife are going to try to do this daily, Monday to Friday. At least we're going to try. If not, we'll try to do it Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. But again, our heart is to encourage you, to point you always to the Lord Jesus Christ, because we need his grace, we need his mercy every day, and we need it the most when we forget. And again, if you need any help, you need any kind of pastoral counseling, coaching, life coaching, we do have a team of other coaches, family therapists. And if you are a Christian family therapist or psychologist or clinical psychologist, please reach out to us. We definitely would love to work with you. And again, God bless you, and we hope to connect with you tomorrow. We'll see. God bless you.
Story, because I see it. The trouble is, when I say it, they don't believe it. They reckon I can only say it, but I don't mean it. I'm trying to tell them I can only say it if I can feel it. Cause money's tight, maybe tighter than it was before. I'm helping out on a mortgage I really can't afford. Family breaking north, I cover the trips abroad.